The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio with Dr. Alex Hubline and Dr. Josh Klapo. This is Adapt or Perish.
Welcome to Adapt or Perish, along with Dr. Alex Hubline, president of Adaptogen. I am Dr. Josh Klapo. And Alex, the song today to kick us off has really nothing to do with classic rock. And yet, I guess we could say it changed the face of music forever. Is that fair to say?
I think so. Yeah, maybe not classic rock, but classic, let's call it classic pop. How's that?
Classic pop. So we're talking, today we're talking about digital transformation. And of course, Alex and I love to come up with titles and weave in the music theme. And Alex came up with Digital Killed the Analog Star, which is great, which is great. I remember, you're younger than me. Do you remember when the first MTV video came out? Or I don't know how much younger you are than me, or do you not?
You know, I mean, I think I don't remember it like airing, but I think that I was old enough at the time to have remembered it. But a lot of people didn't have MTV back then, like when they very first kicked off. Uh-huh. You know, they had that whole I want my MTV campaign to get all the networks and the cable companies to carry their content and carry their channel. So I don't think I actually watched the premiere of it, but I do very distinctly remember that once it kind of got to a wide, more widespread audience.
So I did watch a premiere of it, maybe because I lived in LA. I don't know if that makes me privileged or just we were one of the first to get it. I'm also older, so I think I was in middle school, towards the end of middle school, maybe beginning of junior high. And I remember just being glued to this. There was the same TV, and I think this is important for our talking about digital transformation today. I mean, the TV didn't change. It was the same box, right? But ironically, our good friend Alan Hunter, who's actually from Birmingham, Alabama, introduced this video, and it was Video Killed the Radio Star. And I remember watching it and just my jaw dropped, not in shock, but it was more like I was transformed into this other medium. Like the same medium that I was used to now became this whole different experience. And obviously, again, I'm being a little dramatic, but kind of not really, because I can't tell you how many of us spent an entire summer and summer and summer and summer just sitting watching this new sort of version of the same thing that we had. And that's what I think is interesting about today's talk, because when you said, let's do digital transformation, I kind of, you know, oh God, digital transformation, everything's digital. Jeez, come on, Alex. But your points were so important in terms of why we can't and shouldn't just kind of roll our eyes at it just because it's a commonplace name. So let's launch from there. What are your thoughts, about my eye rolling and sort of this term that now most of us know in business, but is still incredibly relevant and important?
Yeah, I think it is, because, you know, we've all heard this term. It's been going around for years. We've even talked about it in a couple of previous episodes. Mm-hmm. And I think what's interesting about it is that, you know, when you talk to people, sort of your average person thinks that, gosh, everything is digital, right? They've kind of grown up. A lot of people have grown up in this sort of digital native world. My son's a really good example of this. He's 5. He doesn't understand what television is, going back to the MTV. Because, like, you can stream everything now. Like, right. He's never watched live television except maybe sitting with me watching a football game or something. Like, he's never watched live television. He's never had to sort of sit there and be like, what's on right now, Dad? He doesn't have any concept of that. And so I think you've got a whole generation of people that have kind of grown up in a sort of digital native world. And what they don't realize, and what I don't think a lot of people realize, is just how analog and how antiquated a lot of the processes that run all kinds of things in our lives, whether it's banking transactions or insurance systems or it's logistics systems. I mean, there's still a long way to go in this digital transformation journey. And, you know, you see companies struggling with it. They've done things the same way for a long time. And they're not just looking at it from a technology standpoint. They're looking at it from the standpoint of how can we use technology to really go out there and improve operational efficiencies, drive up our profit margins, better serve our customers, do things more efficiently and more effectively. So a lot of people think we're kind of nearing the end of that journey, but for a lot of big companies, they're probably closer to the beginning of that journey than they are to the end of that journey. So I think it's still a very germane topic.
Can you give some examples? Because again, I think you're right. I mean, a lot of us, I'm not like your five-year-old son, but a lot of us, I think, probably assume that particularly large companies, if you're not really in tune to this, that large companies are running on, you know, maybe not the latest technology, but not antiquated or not analog. You know, I think the assumption is because the front facing of whatever, you know, whether it's customer interaction, et cetera, you know, everyone's got an app, there's some digital interface, but give some examples, maybe if you can, of just like what we would be surprised to know about X industry or Y industry, just in terms of where they are relative to digital transformation.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure. I mean, I can give you tons of examples, right? I mean, I'll give you a really good example. We have a big customer of ours. They recently renewed their contract with us, and we were waiting for them to transfer the funds for the renewal, and it came in the mail via a paper check. Right? And we were like, a paper check, really? That's a pretty well-run organization, right? I'm not going to name names here, but you know, we see that stuff all the time, right? I mean, they're literally still sending paper checks to people, and this was a lot of money in this paper check. Well, you know, I was dealing with someone just a couple weeks ago, and they said, yeah, well, the only way to do this transaction is you got to fax this stuff to us. I was like, well, can we just scan it and email it to you? Nope, it's got to be faxed. You know, and you're like, faxes? It's just crazy, right? And so this stuff goes on all day long, every day. You wouldn't believe the number of things that are still more in the, and I don't necessarily want to call it the analog world.
Okay.
But we're doing things in a way that there are much, much better ways to do it today. There's much more efficient ways to do it. But when you really look at any kind of transformation exercise, there's almost always sort of three components to it. There's the people aspect of it. So you've got to change the way people do things and the way they think about things. And sometimes that involves cultural change. Then there's processes that have to change. And, you know, people don't really like to change business processes, right? I mean, they're like, nah, this has been working for 30 years. Keep doing what we're doing.
Even if it's really not been working. Even if it's not really been working, at least they know how it's not working. And so then the assumption is it is working.
Yeah. And the idea is that, you know, if it's not broken, don't go try to fix it. That's the mentality you get to in a lot of cases. There's still, you know, and so there's the people aspects, there's the process aspects, and then there's the technology aspects of it. And so a lot of people tend to focus in on just the technology piece. And what you find is that it's not just a technology play here. It's not just about digital transformation. It isn't just about putting more computers into the mix. It's really you've got to look at it holistically, right? You've got to look at it that it's more than just systems. It's more than just processes. It's more than just people. You have to look at a lot of these changes and understand how they affect the whole business or the whole organization that you're working with. And so sometimes, you know, people will get very excited about going out on these digital transformation journeys and they'll end up with so much resistance within the organization to change that, you know, all the best technology in the world can't help them. So I think that's sort of the first lesson that we've learned about digital transformation is that you can't just look at it as a technology play. You have to look at it very holistically. And you've got to make sure that you take into account all those people and process and culture factors, as well as sort of what is it going to do to the other constituents in my supply chain, in my whole value chain? How does this affect customers? How does this affect partners and vendors and suppliers? And a lot of times, if you don't think through these things, what starts out as a great idea ends up being it just turns into chaos. And so you have to be very careful with that.
So Alex, let's talk, let's get real practical on that, because what you just said, you know, is the concern that I think a lot of people have. It's, you know, it's easy to get excited about some user interface or something that's going to speed things up or automate systems, et cetera. But you're really telling people the truth that if you want this to be highly effective, if you want it to do what you want it to do, then these other things have to come into play. How do you, and Adaptogen, like how do you work with clients to help them see that that's not just a barrier, right? That it's not just something that they should then wipe their hands clean of it. Because again, it's almost like there's a slight catch, even though there's not a catch. It's just something you have to take into consideration. How do you communicate that? How do you get people to understand that so that the products that they're buying or that they're working with you on are ultimately successful?
Yeah, well, a lot of times we'll start with what are the processes? You know, what are the processes you're trying to improve within your business? And then you can kind of take a look at, well, what people or organizations are affected by those processes? What are the technology touch points of those processes? And so our main product allows you to model out some of the integration processes that you need in order to be able to be successful with a lot of these digital transformation exercises. So being able to sit down, have a business analyst, it's all visual drag and drop, no code type of tools to build integrations. And so one of the interesting things that happens, though, is that it's not just technical people doing it. It's business people sitting side by side with them saying, well, look, here's how the process should work. Here's the kind of data we need to go get back to support this process. Here's how we want to change this from a batch mode type of non-real-time system to a real-time system. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, one of the things we start with is trying to get the business executives and the people that are actually running the business involved in these transformational processes, right? If it's just IT guys, people say, well, we need to process POs faster, or we need to do this better. They lose sight of the overall business goal. So being able to get the business and the technology teams working very closely together, to really take a much more holistic look at it than just, you know, saying, well, here's a set of requirements for you IT guys to go work out. Call us if you have any questions. That process or that methodology of doing things went out of favor quite some time ago. And it's really all about how do you get them to collaborate together to make sure that what you're doing end to end is going to have the desired result and not end up in a situation where it has unintended consequences. Because we see that a lot. People say, well, we're going to transform this process, or we're going to transform the way we do business. They get into it and they find out, oh, wow, we didn't think through this fully. So you kind of have to, for every process you're going to automate, for every analog thing you're going to turn into digital, whatever it may be, you've got to really focus on what are the impacts across the business, and make sure you understand those as you go into it.
Do you see, you alluded to this a little bit in the beginning. It's almost like getting, it's almost becoming saturated, like with music or videos, where a company is all on board. They're so on board. Everybody is, you know, they're doing their tech people, their product people, their marketing, everyone is on board. So it's not a matter of friction, you know, or people sort of digging their feet in, but it's kind of overkill. Like literally, and obviously you're in business, you want to make, you know, you want to make money, but you also want to have satisfied customers. We all do. But do you see people kind of, it's almost like a kid in a candy store just going, oh, I want one of this and I want it to do this. And if it's gone, make this, let's make sure we go here. We didn't. And they just literally are layering on too much at one time. I've seen this in some of the organizations I'm consulting with, where I'm literally having to say, look, from a people standpoint, you got to go a little bit slower because you're going to blow your own team out of the water. I don't know if you've seen that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We generally see sort of a couple of angles on this. One is kind of the opposite of what you just said, which is the executive team's on board with it. But then it gets down to kind of the rank and file, to the lower levels of the organization. they're not on board with it sometimes because, I mean, let's face it, sometimes these digital transformation exercises end up eliminating jobs. We're going to automate things. We're going to make things more efficient. We're going to make things faster, better, stronger. You know, so a lot of times you'll see that the executive team's on board, but your middle management down, they're looking at this going, there is no upside for me personally in this digital transformation journey. And so, you know, oftentimes they will either intentionally or just unintentionally throw roadblocks up in terms of doing it and say, well, we can't do it because of this and that and the other thing. And they'll make excuses and they'll try to hinder progress. Right. So that's sort of one extreme. And then you're right. On the other extreme, we see people that say, we're going to transform the whole company in a year.
Right.
And everything's going to be great. Right.
Yeah, that's right. In a year. That's right.
In a year. Right?
Or less.
Yeah, we got 9 months to do this, guys.
Right. This quarter it's going to happen. We've been thinking about it at the executive level for a long time. Here's the memo, right? Here's the document as far as where we're going to go. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. So we're going to do it in a year or a quarter. And then what happens?
Yeah. And so what happens a lot of times is, you're right, the scope of these initiatives will start to creep bigger and bigger and bigger. And it'll start out with something small, and then it will balloon into an initiative where they say, well, gosh, if we did this, it's at the same time we do this. And
right.
And so those things are hard to manage, right? It's really difficult to deal with situations where you're trying to change everything. So you know, one of the lessons that we've learned is that, look, don't try to figure everything out. It's important to understand what the ramifications are across the business, but don't go trying to change and automate and digitize every process that you have. Start small, pick a scope, understand that scope very fully, and then make sure that you come up with an iterative strategy to make it happen. Because I guarantee you, no matter what you do, if it's a non-trivial exercise, you're going to run into a whole bunch of things that you didn't account for, that you didn't think of up front. And that causes all manner of problems, because you can end up in a situation where you're trying to do too much. Everything is in chaos. And you know, oftentimes that can really harm the business, not just the people within the business, but it can also lead to disastrous business results. Because instead of focusing on, okay, we actually have to run this business, we've got to make money, we've got to keep our profit margins where they need to be, people will get really, really focused on these big grand initiatives, and the scope of them will keep expanding. And before you know it, you can't actually implement this stuff. It just can't be done. And I think that's another important thing that we've learned is that, you know, make sure that you try to get some quick wins up front.
Yes.
Let's pick some processes. Let's show you the benefits on a small scale. And once we've done that a couple of times, then we can scale it up to something big. Because I can't tell you the number of leadership teams and companies, they've been super excited about digital transformation. They'll go in there and they'll do it and they'll start it. And it just, they're like 6 months later, 9 months later, they're like, well, what progress have we made? Well, we're still planning it. And so the challenge there is that the executive team starts to lose faith. They start to lose interest in it, right? The world's changing quickly. They've got a lot on their plate and they're saying, where are my results? I haven't seen the results yet. Now, sometimes the results are just going to take time. So you have to set those expectations the right way up front that, hey guys, this isn't going to be done next quarter. It's probably not even going to be done next year, but here are the milestones that we can show from a progress standpoint to say that we're actually on track to getting there. So I think setting the right expectations and having the right expectations up front about how long some of these things can take is important, but it's equally important to make sure that you don't go try to boil the ocean and you end up with initiatives that take, you know, years and years and years before you ever see any results. You've got to be able to show some progress. You've got to be able to show some results fairly early, and then you can expand on those wins and you build momentum rather than ending up in a situation where people start to lose faith after some period of time. So I think the second thing that's really important there that we've learned is that, you know, the world is moving very rapidly. Speed is one of the most important aspects of digital transformation, because again, you can end up in a situation where things take way too long. And by the time you've worked out your sort of master plan, now you're sitting there saying to yourself, wow, I've come up with a master plan. It took me a year or however long to create this plan. And now I'm in a situation where the plan is actually out of date. Like, what am I going to do with this plan now? It's completely out of date. It is, the world has changed from underneath us. And now we're in a situation where we can't actually implement what we're going to do, or we could, but it's the wrong thing to do. Now we've got to go back and make course corrections to this big master plan. And if you end up in a situation where you have to make too many of those course corrections, oftentimes you'll have to go back and rework the master plan. So, you know, one of the things that we've learned over the years is that you've got to be able to move quickly, and you've got to be able to go out and automate things quickly, and you've got to be able to choose the right tools and the right technology platforms that enable this pace of change. Because again, if you try to go back and create this big giant master plan that's got 67 steps and it's, you know, took you a year and a half to come up with a plan, the plan's probably out of date, right? It's probably, it's probably in a situation where you're going to have to go back and rethink that plan. And I've watched companies get into this. Well, the world changed from underneath us. We got to go rethink the plan. And then it takes them so long to rethink the plan that the world has shifted again. So, you know, again, starting small, but then also choosing the right technologies, the right tools, and the right platforms that let you go out there and not only implement things quickly, but also be able to change them rapidly as the world changes. Because I guarantee you, no matter what plan you come up with, you're going to have to make alterations to that plan along the way. And the bigger the plan and the bigger the scope of the plan, the more alterations you're going to have to make.
So you said two super important things. One, you said the world's changed underneath our feet, which is both true. It's catastrophic, and yet it happens every single day. The world changes underneath our feet, but you're absolutely right. And the other piece, which I think is really interesting and important for people to understand, is how do you talk to organizations who say, you know, we see what you're offering us, and then you're saying, well, but this is adaptable. It's going to be able to grow with you. And I guess technologically, how do you make that happen? You know, and the reason I'm asking this is there is this sort of fear that if I don't get all of it or the biggest or the best, or if I don't get it so that it's set up for 10 years down the road, when the world changes, I'm going to have to start over. But you keep using the word incremental, adaptation, evolution. What has digital technology allowed us to do so that that can actually happen, so that you're not having to replace things, but you're able to do it in an iterative way?
Yeah, well, I think there's a couple of aspects to it. One of them is making sure that whatever you're going to go out and implement, particularly from a technology standpoint, but again, I think this is true of people and processes and everything else, that you design that adaptability in. And so one of the ways that that we've been very successful with is to make things as simple as possible, right? Don't go adding additional layers of complexity. You know, a lot of people, like, let's say they're picking technology tools to help them automate processes, to digitize things. And so one of the challenges is they'll say, wow, this has so many features and blah, 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 that this is the best solution. And they just don't ever think about, well, but how quickly can I change this? How can I make this happen? And so being able to implement technologies that make the complicated at least seem simple is really, really important. So that's one thing, right? Simplicity is very, very important. And again, if you leave it in the hands of the technology folks, a lot of times they'll come up with very, let's call them overly complex solutions to problems that aren't that complex. So that's one thing we've learned, is make sure that whatever tools and platforms you've got, they're as complex as they need to be, but no more complex than that, right? Don't get too worked up about, well, I really would like to have this one thing and I'm going to sacrifice my ability to adapt and change because of this one feature or this one, whatever it is, one thing I'd like to see in a product or a technology platform or a standard or whatever. And so you've got to have the business involved to do that, right? You've got to be able to make sure that you're making good progress, that you're able to say, okay, we're going to do this as with the least amount of complexity that we can get by with. And then what that lets you do is not only get quick wins, but it also the simpler you can make it to change things, the easier it is to go out and adapt to the market and to the world as it's changing around you. Because again, I guarantee you, no matter what plan you put together for digital transformation, you're going to end up in a situation where you're going to have to rethink part of it along the way. And so designing in that adaptability, designing in change and even change that you don't know about yet, that's a critical success factor in our experience at Adaptogen.
I know you talked about this earlier in as we've been talking about this, but define again, now that we've kind of come into the conversation more, digital transformation, because you said it in the beginning, but I think one of the things as we've sort of navigated this conversation is it's quite possible, whether it's executive leadership or the technology team or the product team, for people not to always be on the same in sync with what they believe digital transformation is, i.e., and I see this a lot, using the word, but everybody meaning it a little bit differently. If I ask you now again, how would you define digital transformation for a client or for your clients? How do you define it?
Well, that's part of the reason it's such an overloaded term, is that there's no good definition of this thing. Well, we're going to do stuff with computers and digital stuff, and it's going to be transformative, right? So I think I think you're hitting on a really interesting point here, is that most people don't have a good definition of what it is they're trying to do, but I think it varies by organization and by company. Okay. So I think one of the things, to your point, that you've got to be able to do is really spell out upfront, what are the goals that we're trying to accomplish here with this quote unquote digital transformation exercise? What are the business benefits going to be? How are we going to improve our efficiency? How are we going to increase our profitability or our growth or whatever it happens to be? So being able to define the parameters and the objectives and the desired outcomes of the transformation exercise, that's critical. Because if you try to use a one-size-fits-all definition, and I've seen companies try to do this, you get into a situation where you're not actually accomplishing what you need to accomplish as a business. And that's the worst part. When you go out, you design these things, you spend a lot of money, you optimize processes or whatever, and then you find out, gosh, this didn't actually achieve what I wanted to achieve.
Yeah.
So being very explicit about what the objectives are, and then more importantly, what are the real outcomes when we're done with this thing, or we're halfway through it, or whatever the milestone you want to set? These are the business results we expect to see, and those things have to be measurable. They've got to be quantifiable if you're going to have a long-term campaign of digital transformation, because I don't see this as a one-time event, right? This isn't some big bang, like, hey, we're going to transform everything and there's an end date to the project and it's all going to be great. To me, this is because technology changes, digital technologies change every day. And so, you know, technically fax machines are digital, right?
Right.
And people could have said, well, we do it through digital transformation. We do everything over fax now. And then 20 years later, people are looking at you like, man, you're still using fax machines? There's like way better ways of doing this compared to what we've done in the past. So I think digital transformation to me isn't an event. It isn't just a project. It's an ongoing journey, and there's probably no end date to it, because the technology world keeps changing faster and faster. But if you can pick the right methodologies, if you can pick the right tools and platforms that will enable you to continue to adapt, We've seen that as a big critical success factor. And then designing your organization, and I don't just mean the org chart, right? Org charts change all the time. But building a culture where everything is adaptable, right? Where you've got a culture where people say, okay, we're used to change. We understand that we have to continually get better at what we do. We are continually going to be looking for ways of optimizing what we do as technology changes, as the market changes, as the geopolitical climate changes. All of those things, designing in that idea of adaptation and being able to look out into the market and take advantage of new technologies on a rolling basis, on a continual basis. I think that's what's going to, one of the things that will distinguish really successful organizations in the future and ones that kind of fall by the wayside.
All right. So final question and final thought, is that role, everything you just described, this sort of the strategic part, the navigation, the adapting or setting up to be able to be adaptable down the future, that it's not a one size fits all event, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You're the president of a technology company. On the one hand, you offer solutions. Is it the role of a technology company that's coming into an organization to provide that guidance, obviously in the beginning, but you know what you're talking about is a much more detailed guidance, or is it kind of you present it to them and the company really bears the responsibility for making sure that's in place? And I don't mean in terms of risk or relative risk, but what role do technology companies play in providing those consultative services? I didn't want to use consultative, but that's what that's kind of what I'm alluding to.
Well, yeah, look, there's entire giant consulting firms, hundreds of them. This is all they do, right? They go in and they say, hey, here's how you undergo one of these journeys, right? And
yeah,
they kind of lead them along the way. And as a technology provider, we work very closely with a lot of those consultancies that come in and say, here's how we're going to transform banking, or here's how we're going to transform the insurance industry. And we work very closely with those consultancies to make sure that they've got the tools that they need to be able to do this very rapidly, very cost effectively. And then you see other organizations, though, that say, well, we're not going to use those outside consultants. And, you know, and then they try to do it internally. They try to do it themselves. So I've seen it both ways. And I've seen both ways succeed wildly and great things happen. And I've seen them both fall flat on their face. But the one thing we did learn and that I've learned over the last few years is if you're going to do it internally, you can't just depend on the people that are in your business and have them do it in addition to their day jobs.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to have an empowered leader of these types of things. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, hey, this is the job of so-and-so in addition to their day job. You've actually got to have people that are dedicated to this that actually have some pull within the organization. Because if you don't, they're always running around trying to convince people to do things that were like, that's not my day job. That's not part of what I'm trying to do here. Yeah, I get it. It's important. So whatever leader you choose, whether it's a consulting company or you're trying to do it internally, you've really got to empower them to cut across boundaries within the organization. And if you can't cut across those boundaries, all it takes is that one weakest link in the chain. Well, so-and-so department didn't do what they were supposed to do, or they're pushing back on this. Whole thing falls apart, right? So you've got to empower those people and then let them go out and get technology platforms, as well as being able to look at processes that design that adaptability and that change into those systems and into those processes as they go forward. Because I guarantee you, I've said it three or four times, but I'm going to say it again. Whatever plan you put in place, it will change before you're done with that journey. So expect it, plan for it, and make sure that you've got the right technologies in place that can accommodate that. And you don't have to go back to square one every single time something changes.
That was amazing. I was waiting for you to talk about working across organizations. And that's why you need to listen to Dr. Alex Hubelein on other episodes of Adapter Pairs, because I have heard him say that time and time again. We've done that in the unicorn segment. We've done that several different times. Important stuff. And I hope that what people take from this is not that digital transformation is too complicated, too much, too overwhelming, but that it is, it needs to be thoughtful and needs to be methodical. And if so, it's quite possible. And I hope that folks really heard that, because that's what I heard from you today. We are out of time. I want to thank everyone for joining Alex and I on Adaptive Parish. All you need to do is stay tuned to Tony Curry Radio, because that's where you'll hear the next amazing episode of Adapt or Perish.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.